You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
I ride for my city, I die for my city. Swear to God, even when it ain't pretty. Forever tell the city, hold on. In it for the long haul, still down, even when we ain't winning. I ride for my team.
Hello, Gamecock Nation. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and this is TRC Unleashed. We'd like to welcome you back. We are just a few days away from the start of the 2013 football season. Oh, hell, by the time we get this posted on the blog, it may be the day of or the day before, but it is football time. I have got T-Bone and the G-Man coming to you from South Carolina. G-Man from the Midlands, T-Bone from the Upstate. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing fine, but I am so sick of your stinking voice. I've been listening to these throwbacks, these rewinds that you've been doing now for several weeks, and oh Lord, are you not sick of hearing yourself?
There is nobody sicker of hearing somebody's voice than me of mine. I'm telling you.
If I were a nicer person, and if I, you know, actually liked you, I would tell you that they have actually been very good. And that anyone that hasn't listened to them should listen to a few of them. It's good information in these things, and it's been hilarious. But I'm not that guy, so just stop talking.
So just screw you, buddy.
Right, exactly.
You notice G-Man's being really quiet over there. How many of you listen to G-Man? Come on. Be honest.
A few. A few. And I have to say that I'm actually growing tired. I'm glad the season's here, because I'm growing tired, not of our blog, but of just, I think there's been more preseason talk and hype about this season, not just the Gamecocks, but nationally, the SEC, than I've ever remembered. I mean, it's like football has gone up, not one notch, or college football, but several notches.
It's just going to get bigger. I mean, they're rolling out the network next year.
Can you imagine what the hype is going to be like before we open the season with Texas A&M next year? I mean, even without Clowney and probably without Manziel, you know, what the lead up is going to be to that. And that's one of the things.
Well, I start to say, there's your storyline. You just wrote the storyline. That's
right.
It.
We might as well go ahead and start talking about it right now.
Yeah,
right,
well, that's the thing. As big as a fan as I've been, and you guys know that there's it's hard to rival my fandom. I have to say that I'm a little bit burnt out on it already, and we haven't even had the first game. That's why I've sort of dialed it back a little bit, because I'm ready for some actual football to talk about.
Yeah, as 2001 starts playing, you're going to wet your pants, and we'll be right back in it.
That'll be actual football, and I'm ready for that.
G-Man, I'm with you, man. I'm weary. I'm weary of all these clowny articles and blog posts. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we are living in an unprecedented era of Gamecock awesomeness, and it's great, but we're just ready for some football. We're ready for some.
I'm ready. But there's only so many articles and promos you can read about Clowney. I mean, it's like every day there's another one. And I mean, it's great. You're right. I mean, it's great for the publicity for our school. And, you know, we've never had this before. But I'm just ready for the real thing. So let's get to it.
What's going
to
happen? What's going to happen Thursday night, the first time that Clowney goes, you know, the first time he says, oh, man, I'm winded.
Right.
Is he going to have an internal voice that says, I can't be winded?
I'm Jadavian Clowney. Right, right.
I think it's going to just revert back to regular football, and all this preseason talk and hype is just going to kind of go away, and we're going to be right back in the midst. I'm just ready for that to happen, and I think he's going to be fine. But we just need to get there.
Well, what I thought you were about to say is the first time he puts his hands on his hips, like, you know, midway through the second quarter, somebody's going to say, oh, boy, you know, he's been on these media tours all summer and his conditioning's not where it needs to be.
Right.
That'll happen. That'll happen.
Well, that's the thing, is we're analyzing, like, you know, individual plays and parts of plays and plays off. And, you know, I mean, it's getting to be too much, but I digress.
Friday morning, the lead will be Friday morning, win, lose, or draw. Overhype. Was Clowney overhyped?
Right.
And there's
right.
nothing he can do.
Right.
Short of, if he could do kind of a Marcus Lattimore plus Melvin Ingram plus Steve Tannehill, If he could do that in one game, then he wouldn't be overhyped. But right. Otherwise,
well, he's going to have to grow his hair a little longer. Well, I don't know. His hair's pretty long
at this point. Pretty long. But, right.
Well, you guys, you folks listening, you can tell that we have not done a podcast in a while because we are just babbling like little schoolgirls. I mean,
let it go, man.
I don't even know what episode this is. As soon as I went into the introduction, I was like, I didn't even check to see what episode we're on. I think it's 46 episode, or 48.
It's 2013A.
We're going to start a new numbering system for our podcast. So, we've gone, almost, 10 minutes now, and we do have a special guest on this show. It's Kevin McCrary from the South Carolina Radio Network on Sports Talk, and his interview is going to be coming up in just a few minutes, and he's going to talk to us about how this offseason has been unlike any other and what it's like having two teams from the state ranked in the top 10. And all of this has just had to make his job so much easier. He and Kornblut and the Haney boys and all these guys, they've just got to be, their show is written for them every day when they come to work.
It's true. And the thing is, I'm not sure that there's really a way for them to make money off of that yet. I mean, because I'm not mad at them if they're trying to make money off of it, but you've got the four-letter network pounding into everybody's house, whether they want to hear it or not, every day. And then you've got these guys giving us the local flavor. There's got to be some mechanism for them to get on this train, and for guys like K-Mac, guys like the Haney brothers, as you call them, you're pulling for them. I hope they figure that out, because, otherwise the ESPN's just going to have local guys in Columbia,
Right.
ESPN's going to have some local dude that'll just take over.
Well, TRC's local guy in Columbia is the G-Man. And we're going to go to him first for a little analysis on this North Carolina team coming in on Thursday night and what kind of chances we have of winning this game by 30 or 40 points, which obviously we do think that's going to happen, right, G-Man?
Not quite. Not so much. I do think we're going to win the ball game. But as a longtime watcher of Gamecock openers, I'm not going to say that we're going to cure ourselves from what we normally do, which is play down to our competition, make it tough on our fans. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter ball game, and I don't think North Carolina is a bad team by any means. I think their offense is very good. I think they have a experienced veteran quarterback. They evidently have a very good tight end, and our tight end is going to be hanging out on the sidelines. And good receivers, experienced offense. I think they're all obviously suspect on defense, but I think they're going to be able to move the football on us at times and make an interesting ball game. So I'm not 30, 40 points. No, not seeing it. But I think we win.
What's your biggest concern? What unit on the field is the biggest concern to you?
Well, I mean, the easy answer would be linebacker, because we know we're young there. But I believe
that's the right answer. That's
what well, I certainly think that is a concern, because we know they've got this high octane offense. They've got a good tight end. They're going to have a lot of receivers in the pattern on every play. And they're going to try to hit a lot of these quick passes to neutralize our superior defensive line. They're going to try to keep those guys out of the game by picking on the linebackers and our DBs. So, I mean, that's certainly an area of concern for me. I'm worried about the kicking game. We don't know who's kicking on Monday. And we got a game on Thursday, and we've never seen these guys in a game before. I think that this could come down to a field goal or two, which, we're not too good at, even when we know who the kicker is going to be. So I'm worried about that. Special teams in general, we got a new person back fielding punts. Looks like our kick return guy is not going to play with the latest information we have. So special teams is a concern. I'm not too worried about the offense. I think the offense is going to be fine with Connor Shaw. And if Dylan gets in with Dylan, the running backs, I'm very confident in. The offensive line, I'm pretty pleased with. veterans there. Receiving core, even without Bruce, I think we're deep. I think we'll get it done. Linebackers and kicking game.
Yeah, what is it you were just mentioning what you read on Bruce? By the time this podcast hits, everybody will know, but apparently Bruce has just can't get over that lingering hamstring injury.
Yeah, retweaked it. Looks like he tried to come back and practice yesterday after laying out for, gosh, who knows, 2 weeks. And looks like he retweaked it and said that when he hit top speed, that gave him trouble. And they said he was going to wait around a couple days and see if he was going to be able to play. So that doesn't sound good. I mean, we know how hamstrings can linger. We saw that, what, Shaq Wilson missed a whole season 2 years ago with a hamstring pull. Yeah. So, I mean, it concerns me. My thought would be you sit him down as long as it takes to get him well, because what you don't want is him to pull that thing again when he's not well. I mean, same thing with Anderson. And we think Anderson's got the same injury, and I've already heard he was out. So, I mean, there you go, losing your top two threats really on offense. The good news is we do have a lot of bodies at wide receiver and two other good tight ends. So I think we can manage there, but you know, you don't want your playmakers out when you need them, like we need them.
T-Bone, biggest concern for you?
Well, you know, I've already alluded to what G-Man says is the obvious answer, and that's the linebackers. I just think with the nature of North Carolina's offense, the up-tempo they're going to run, it's going to be a whole lot of hitting your keys, hitting them quick, getting lined up, knowing where you're supposed to be. And we're going to be playing some redshirt freshmen and some true freshmen. I mean, they're all going to be that. All of our linebackers, our whole two deep is, with Cooper out now. And so I just think that's the area of biggest concern. Are we going to be able to do that consistently throughout the whole game? I don't think it's realistic for us to even expect that we will. My hope is that we'll be able to do that about 50% of the time, because on the flip side, this North Carolina defense, unless they've gotten some players over the offseason that we don't know about, and they something points to Georgia Tech. I think they averaged over 30 against an ACC schedule. This is going to be perhaps one of the weakest, or perhaps the weakest defense we play all year. And so I think we're going to put up some points. The question is, can we get a stop every two times, you know? If we can, we'll win, and we'll win by a couple scores. If we can't, then it's going to come down to, like you say, the kicking game, and then we're all worried.
I think the kicker is McFly?
McFly?
Hello, McFly! So I'm going to go a different direction. I'll tell you this right now. On Friday morning, you guys are going to wake up and you're going to text me, or either Thursday right after the game, and you're going to say, you know what, Buck? You were right. Our linebackers were great. I think our linebackers are going to play well. I trust Spurrier and what he says about we're going to have fun watching these guys run around, and I think their athleticism is going to make up for a lot of their inexperience, and they're going to play well. The unit that I'm most concerned about is the wide receiver, and with Ellington out, you know, has Damir Byrd matured to the point to where he can be a number one, or Shaq Rowland to the point where he can be a number one? Why is Pharaoh Cooper already number two on the depth chart after being at that position for, you know, 2 weeks, basically? I'm hoping it's because...
Yeah, that's a question, yeah.
I'm hoping it's because he's so freaking awesome, but I don't know that that's the case. I mean, he's passed a lot of guys that, you know, KJ Brent's a third-teamer again. Quentin Smith got passed by Cooper, and he's a third-teamer, and... you know, some of these guys that we thought, especially KJ Brent, has been really, it's been disappointing to me to hear the rave reviews about him when he was a freshman, and then he's apparently just never really gotten any better. So I'm hoping Mike Davis and Brandon Wiles and those guys can carry the load on offense. And I think G-Man texted us this the other day. It's going to be, it's going to be Shaw running the read option, play action. You know, there's going to be a lot of that going on Thursday night until we can find some a receiver or two that we can count on. So yeah.
So on the opposite end of that, if you play that thread out a little bit, and I don't know if this is where you're going, but they know what we know, obviously, because we're, you know, three yokels that don't have a clue about football. But they know that what we're going to do is read option, read option, read option, especially with our wide outs hurt. And so they're going to be stacking the line looking for that.
Yeah.
What we would then do is throw the ball at the tight end.
Jarrell Adams, baby.
That's where I'm headed. Our first string tight end's hurt. This might be Jarrell Adams' coming out party.
Or Drew Owens. Drew Owens has had a good fall camp from what we read.
Right.
So, fortunately, this is what recruiting has done for us over the last 4 or 5 years is we do have some backups that, that can fill in and hopefully perform at a high level.
I think the game is on 14. It's on Connor Shaw. I think it's his ball game. I think you're going to see him making a lot of decisions at the line of scrimmage with the read option and the short passing game. Think about the Missouri game last year when he was just picking people apart with the short passing game. And is his decision-making, I think that's what you're going to see, is more a surgical game plan, looking for the playmaker, looking for somebody to make a play, and you're going to see a lot of Mike Davis and hopefully Brandon Wiles as well. But I'm excited to see Mike Davis. I mean, I snuck a peek at some high school film the other day just because I was just dying to see something that I hadn't seen before football-wise. And I know it's high school, I know it's film, and I know it's highlights, but the kid has some – amazing talent, and I'm looking forward to seeing him once he is the man, which I think he is. So I think you're going to see a lot of him, a lot of Connor Shaw, and or especially early on to get things rolling.
I never thought you would tire of looking at Maxim.com to the point that you would actually go look at something else
right,
on the internet.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I'm laughing because I don't know what Maxim.com
is. Maxim, yeah. The magazine.
You guys are hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Anywho, we'll take that opportunity to go to a pre-recorded interview we had with Kevin McCrary of Sports Talk. Good old K-Mac joined us to talk about Gamecock football and Clemson football and North Carolina football and various other topics. And when we come back, we'll give you a South Carolina, North Carolina prediction, and we will answer some questions from our friends on Twitter. Here's our interview with Kevin McCrary.
Has old Maggie Heat, babe, and it keeps it out of sight.
All right, everybody. We have a special guest joining us now before the season opener for South Carolina against UNC on Thursday night to talk a little college football. He is the sports director for the South Carolina Radio Network. You can hear him weekdays on Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut at 6 p.m. across the state of South Carolina. He tweets at Sports Talk SC. We'd like to welcome Kevin McCrary to TRC Unleashed. K-Mac, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. Pleasure to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. And I guess the most burning question is for Phil, and we had a good time with Phil on the show back in the winter. Is he a Clemson fan or a South Carolina fan?
You know, that's a great question. If I had a dollar for every time I was asked that question, it depends on what part of the state I'm in. I go up to Clemson and he's Tiger. He's Corn Coop. And when I go up and cover a game at Clemson, they are convinced. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is up there. And then I'm around in the Midlands area, and Skip Holtz used to always call him Tiger Philly. And he never asked me how Phil's doing. It was always, how is Tigerville doing? So it's on who you talk to.
And it doesn't matter what you do to try to convince anybody otherwise. They're going to believe what they're going to believe.
You're either Ferris or you're a Guinness.
Right.
Yeah.
So the impressive thing that I heard, and I live in Atlanta. The other two guys both live in South Carolina, so I don't get to listen to the show as much. I was listening on iHeartRadio last week, and I happened to catch the part where Phil said that Sports Talk has been on the air for 30 years this month.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, somehow. I haven't been there that long, fortunately. I mean, I kind of lived in South Carolina. I moved here when I was about 8 or 9 years old and kind of found the show when I was in my high school years, and it was strange. Now I'm a part of it, but Phil's got his brand that he's really built, and I give him a lot of credit. He was doing recruiting before recruiting was cool.
Right.
And he's still, he's still out there plugging away at that, and he has passion for it. True story. I mean, this guy's calling recruits that have to, and during football games in between plays, he's calling kids, making recruiting calls. So he's really done well, and we kind of have our format that we stick to, and we we make sure we cover both schools, especially football. And, you know, it's worked. They haven't pulled us off the air. You know, every night I'm like, okay, they're not going to do it tonight, I guess.
Right.
But we're still rolling.
Well, I gotta say, this off season has to have been a gold mine for you guys. I mean, it's really been like any other, and I don't know if it's just what has happened every day or if it's just the state of the world that we live in with so much social media and so much coverage of everything. But it seems like from the SEC media days and Clowney and Manziel into practices and injuries and Spurrier with his shirt off. And I mean, has this off season just been different than any other that you guys have ever experienced?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, the anticipation, it's always big, as we all know, living in the South and covering football in this state, in South Carolina and Clemson. People are always excited about it, even when the football wasn't great. People were excited about it. But the fact that you have a guy like Steve Spurrier and all the personality he brings to the table, and, you know, you have two programs that are doing really well, two programs that have legitimate aspirations of championships, not just conference championships, but maybe sneaking into the BCS championship. Everything's at a fevered pitch, and it wasn't that long ago. We all have known how special football is in South Carolina, how special the rivalry is between USC and Clemson, but the adage was, you know, it'd be nice if everybody around the country thought this game was as big as we did, kind of like Florida State, Miami, or Florida State, Florida. That was the example people used. And now, I mean, you could argue that, you know, the USC Clemson rivalry is bigger than Florida State, Miami, which was a big one back in the 90s, and certainly right on par with Florida and Florida State. So everybody's just stoked, you know, as much as they could possibly be, knowing that they finally have the football that really maybe some people always dreamed about but weren't sure was possible.
Right. Yeah. You know, and as South Carolina fans, I mean, we're proud South Carolinians, and it's kind of neat to have both teams in the top 10, but we sure wish we could shake Clemson one of these years and just get them off our back, you know.
Well, you shook them 4 straight years. I think, you know, it wouldn't mean as much if you're beating just an awful team.
Yeah.
As long as you win that game at the end, it's not all that matters. If they're number two, then you beat them.
You're betraying yourself. I knew it all along. You're a big, fat tater.
Yeah, that's I've been accused of being Tater Mac a time or two. But I'm not as bad. I'm not hated as much as Phil. I'm like the lesser of two evils when I cover a game or a press conference.
Well, we'll get to that. We're gonna get to the Twitter account here shortly. I do want to talk to you about that. But first, let's talk about South Carolina. And first, let's talk about Jadeveon Clowney. And that another thing, because of the world that we live in today, he has been covered and praised and hyped more than any player in the history, maybe in the history of the Southeastern Conference. I don't know at this point. Do you think there's any possible way that he can live up to the expectations that have been laid on him since January 1st of 2013?
Yeah, since the moment that helmet flew off. You know, my honest answer to that is no. I just don't know how any person could live up to that hype. And he's getting the full ESPN treatment, and we've seen this. It's kind of their trademark now. They find a couple of guys that they like, whether it's Tim Tebow or Jeremy Lin. Yasiel Puig was a guy for a while. They find these guys, and they just shove them down your throats. Now, these guys deserve it. I mean, Clowney is an unbelievable player. But it's the stuff of legends now. And, you know, they're playing North Carolina, Georgia. If he doesn't have 5 or 6 sacks after the first 2 games, these same people are going to go, what's wrong with Clowney? You know, everything that Spurrier says about him, it's front page news. It's all over ESPN. It's going to be on their rundown when you wake up in the morning. Spurrier says something that's not about Clowney, it'll be on the ESPN rundown tomorrow. So I think it's going to be very difficult for him to live up to that hype. And let's face it, the bottom line is, in sports, like maybe even in life, it's, you know, most people don't live up to the hype. It doesn't mean he won't have a solid season. It doesn't mean the Gamecocks won't, but I think it'd be very difficult for him to live up to this kind of hype. It's just, it's over the top.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post last week about what it would take for Clowney to even stay in the Heisman conversation, being a defensive end, and he's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna roll up 350 yards and four touchdowns, which these guys that don't get to see every game, they're gonna look at the box scores, and defensive ends just don't show up in the box scores. He'll need another Vincent Smith moment times three or four, you know, and he'll probably have to score a touchdown or two somewhere along the way, pick off a pass or something like that. But I tend to agree with you. I don't see how anybody can live up to what is now expected of him. He's become a mythical creature. And I don't, did you see the New York Times, the front page on Sunday?
Yeah, I did. And that was a great, you know, it's a great piece. And if he's really favored, and I give him credit, I mean, just the hype alone would be enough to perhaps fracture a normal person. And he's handled that well. And he's definitely not the shy. I mean, he may have not have been shy, but he played his cards a lot more close to the vest when he walked on the campus. And he's really come out of his shell, and it's been neat to kind of see his personality. He's handled all this about as well as he possibly could handle it. He hasn't gone, you know, Johnny Manziel, or, you know, even from a local standpoint, you know, Stephen Garcia, who just, he was never able to handle all the hype and everything surrounding him, and kind of got distracted. And you give Clowney credit. He's managed to stay as much as he can off the radar in terms of social media and pictures with money or any of those other kooky things that get these guys in trouble. So I give him credit there, but I think you hit it on the head with a defensive end. It's a lot easier to neutralize a game plan for a defensive end than if you're going after Cam Newton, who's going to have the ball in his hands 40 times a game and, you know, can reel off a couple big plays. It doesn't mean Clowney won't, you know, make those plays like he did against Tennessee and Michigan, and, you know, have a game like he did against Clemson, and people will remember those, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 plays, and those will overshadow everything else. That's possible because he's got a lot of hype. So if he only has one tackle in a game, but he picks off a pass and takes it 60 yards for a touchdown, that'll be the one play that everybody remembers.
So the matchup with North Carolina on Thursday night, I've said all year, or ever since I've known we were starting off with North Carolina, that I wasn't worried about them. I thought we would win this game pretty easily, and I admitted that I would probably think that until the week of the game. And now that we're 3 or so days away from the game, now I'm getting really nervous. So tell me why I should or should not be nervous about this North Carolina team coming into Columbia on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you would be nervous. It's an opener, and it's not against the Sisters of the Poor. I know it's North Carolina, and I know they gave up a bunch of points last year, and they're kind of in a rebuilding mode with Larry Fedora, but they have a really good quarterback in Bryn Renner. They have an offense that is up tempo, and not just up tempo in the pace, but, you know, they don't stand back in the pocket and throw. So that kind of neutralizes what the Gamecocks' big strength is, which is their defensive line. Renner takes the ball, and right when he catches it, he's letting go of it. So that's going to put pressure on linebackers, and that's a question for the Gamecocks. And with Cooper probably out and some inexperienced guys, you wonder if they're going to be able, you know, how they're going to perform in this game, and some of the new defensive backs and safeties and secondary guys, how they're going to step up. They're going to be asked to make a lot of plays out there. So, you know, and traditionally, as you guys know, the Gamecocks, they tend to just stumble a little bit out of the gates for whatever reason, especially offensively. Last year, I was in Nashville covering the game, and I mean, they looked like they were still out on Broadway somewhere in the first quarter. Offensively, Lattimore fumbled the first time he touched the ball. I think Shaw's first pass was intercepted. They really, struggled protecting the football there. And so I could envision a game where it's close. I still think the Gamecocks are going to win. I just don't know that they're going to go out there and hammer North Carolina maybe the way a lot of people expected on all summer.
No, I think you captured what I believe is going to happen. I think this is quite possibly going to be a close game into the fourth quarter. I tweeted something out last night. I don't think South Carolina has opened against a ranked team since 1992. And in the last either 10 or 12 years, the margin of victory is right around 14 points. But that's a little bit skewed by the 34-0 over NC State and the 41-13 over Southern Miss. So we don't tend to play that great in the opener. So I definitely think there is a little something to be nervous about, and I hope they go out and prove us completely wrong. The Gamecocks have been proving us wrong now for the last 3 years, and I hope they can keep doing it. How about the season as a whole? How do you see this playing out? We know that the schedule is a little bit more favorable than it has been the last couple of years. Georgia has escaped having to play Alabama and LSU. While we've had at least one of the tougher teams for the West on our schedule the last couple of years, do you think there is a reasonable chance that we could make it back to Atlanta in December?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I like the schedule a lot more. The three road games, you know, back-to-back-to-back, I know those aren't the sexier opponents, but, you know, it's still three straight weeks on the road. You know, that is there that proverbial slip-up? You know, a few years ago, they ended up making it to Atlanta, but they lost on the road inexplicably to Kentucky after playing so great the week before and having a big lead. If they can avoid that and just hold serve, I mean, even if they lost to Georgia in week two, they can still flip the script and end up in Atlanta if they hold serve. If they can get, you know, get by the opener, which they're favored, and find a way to get by Georgia, and they can still have a little leeway and even, you know, I guess some wiggle room to avoid, you know, that letdown game wouldn't cost them as much. But, you know, I think this is their year to win the East. If I looked at their schedule, and it's so hard to do that just for that reason, I think SEC play is a lot like the NFL, where on any given week you can get beat, even if you're Alabama. You know, you can lose to a team that you're not expecting to lose to, a team like Tennessee or a team like Missouri or Mississippi State, or, you know, Mississippi can sneak up on any team in the SEC. So that being said, if I were looking at the schedule, I went through it on the show a couple of weeks ago, the only loss that I circled was Georgia. And I thought they could, you know, go into the, you know, the final game, you know, 10-1 against Clemson, and certainly playing for the SEC.
Yeah, the Georgia, speaking of Georgia, the Georgia-Clemson game is fascinating. And I really hope we win Thursday night, because I want to be able to sit back and enjoy that one. How have the callers been the last couple of weeks from the Clemson side been? How do they feel about the Georgia-Clemson matchup?
They feel good about it. You know, they feel like they got a monkey off their back in that Chick-fil-A Bowl against LSU. And I was covering a basketball game at Clemson a few weeks after that game. And, you know, they were playing that on the video screen there. They were honoring the football team with the trophy at halftime and that whole jazz. But, you know, they're really excited about that win. And, you know, they feel like that gave them some momentum. And had they lost that game, really everybody would have been questioning Sweeney and Morris, could the offense work against an SEC team? And, you know, they don't have a lot of those types of wins. They've won a lot of games, but everybody looks at their schedule and says, you're not beating anybody. You're losing the big games. And they feel like beating LSU was a huge step. You know, how much will that factor in against Georgia? I don't know. I do think it's an advantage for Clemson. They're playing at home. They're going to be tough to beat there at Death Valley. In fact, I think South Carolina is the last two losses at Death Valley were both against the Gamecocks. So they managed to beat everybody else there, including, you know, Florida State every time they play them. And Georgia's defense is just, it seems like it's a little bit of a wreck right now. And they lost a lot of guys off last year's team, Jenkins and those guys, and their secondary. They got the proverbial suspensions and the boating under the influence stuff hanging around with their kicker. So, you know, I think Clemson fans have a reason to be confident. The scoreboard might get lit up, but, you know, it's an excellent opportunity for them. And I think they're putting a lot of stock into trying to prove a lot of people wrong. And that's usually when Clemson, they usually win those games and nobody expects them to win. Like the Chick-fil-A Bowl, like when they won the ACC championship game against Virginia Tech. It's like the perfect setup for them is when nobody expects them to win. The worst setup for Clemson is when everybody expects them to win. So this one favors them in that regard.
Yeah, I saw today where Georgia, 10 of the 22 players on Georgia's two deep on defense have never played a snap in a college football game. So when you're going up against an offense like Clemson has, that's not a good omen going into the game.
No.
So, yeah, I I would not mind seeing Clemson come into Columbia undefeated at the end of the year, as long as somebody could guarantee me that we were going to win that game. You know, I don't think anybody can. I don't think anybody can do that.
Yeah, can we make that deal? I would make that deal.
How about the state of the rivalry, K-Mac? Is, and this will sound like a Mr. Obvious question, because they are both ranked in the top 10. It's got to be at a fever pitch. How do you, you know, the calls you get, the people you talk to every day, do you get a sense that it's just the rivalry is greater than it's ever been before?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, I give Steve Spurrier, you know, Dabo Sweeney even, a lot of credit. That rant that Sweeney went on, that'll be one of those things that people, you know, talk about and play 50 years from now. People will play that and use it as a motivational tool for both sides, I guess, especially South Carolina. And, you know, and I think Sweeney, of course, we know he's a showman. He knows how to play to the camera. That's part of his deal. And Spurrier is a very savvy guy, you know, especially when it comes to the media. And those two have done a good job kind of going back and forth and needling each other and always, you know, they're always on each other's mind. I have a very good sense when there's subtle trash talking going on, and covering both teams, it's, you know, I hear it a lot. They'll just take little bitty shots with their Spurriers talking about how many plays they ran, and Sweeney talking about, hey, we can win, you know, running 50 plays. They take little subtle shots that I like to document throughout the year, much to people's chagrin. But I think it's great, and I love it. You know, and I think it's the right kind of rivalry. It hasn't gone over the top. Fortunately, maybe not for Clemson fans, but fortunately, Howard's Rock wasn't damaged by a USC fan that let the rivalry get better on them. You know, so it hasn't gotten to that Auburn-Alabama stage. Nobody's gone out and, you know, shot somebody in the face over a game.
Right.
So it's been a lot of fun to watch. Both teams are great. Both fan bases still don't like the other team, but it's within reason. And they do. Both teams have legitimate things to brag about.
Yeah, and Spurrier doesn't get enough credit for his grudge-holding ability. I mean, he almost good-naturedly holds a grudge, and recently I saw where he compared his record to at Washington for the Redskins to Mike Shanahan's, and I think he's like one game better than Shanahan, and he says I got a better record than Shanny. Did y'all know that? You know?
And I could see him like getting up early one morning, and Jerry makes him a cup of coffee, and he's sitting in there, and he's like, "I'm going to look up what Shanahan's record is."
Right,
media boys. I can envision that.
He's sitting there in their sunroom, totally naked.
Yeah, we know that, man. That's par for the course.
So you do a lot of great work on the Sports Talk SC Twitter accounts. You're one of our favorites, and probably one of the more underrated follows in covering South Carolina sports.
And let me insert here why he says you're one of our favorites. You're one of the few people that hasn't blocked us yet.
Right.
I'm proud to say that I've never blocked anybody. I can ignore somebody if they want to go at me. I've never blocked anybody. There's plenty of people that, not you guys, but that have probably deserved it. But I just, it's like I was telling Corn Dude, I just don't believe, you know, when we take calls, as long as you don't cuss or do something ridiculous or say something completely insane that'll get the SEC on us, you know, we'll let you go on the air. And I kind of handle Twitter the same way. If you want to throw something stupid out there, I'll be happy to oblige. I can ignore it if I want to ignore it, or, you know, we can have a little Twitter smackdown if you want to. That's always fun.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how we try to operate too. I don't know that we've ever blocked anybody from our Twitter account, but we have been blocked. We've been blocked by Demetra, Cloninger.
Ditto.
Who else? Daryl Slater when he was here. And really, you know, I think we finally just pushed Cloninger over the edge a couple of weeks ago. But Slater and Demetra had very thin skins. They didn't put up with us for very long, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy your feed. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of tweets, and I love it. I mean, to me, you know, what we do, we're not, you know, this isn't life or death. I'm still a guy that loves sports, you know, and I'm passionate about it, and I don't have thin skin, but I can still laugh at myself, because I think what I do is it's you know, it's fun, and it should be treated that way. And it's the fans that take everything so serious. I feel sorry for them because they're missing out on what's supposed to be a lot of fun. I don't know what they do to release, you know, if you have a real job, sports is supposed to be your outlet. So I enjoy a little, you know, if somebody wants to give it to me. And sometimes it's deserved and sometimes it's not. But, you know, I'm not going to take my ball and bat and go home and block somebody. I've been blocked by a lot of those same people, so don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
Hey, we're making news here tonight, folks.
How has social media, how has all this changed in the last few years and how you do your job and how you go about your business? And that's a question we asked Kornblut too. And he said, I think he still has a flip phone. So he didn't really have a good answer for that. You may be able to answer that better than him.
Yeah, I'm still teaching him how to work the Twitter. You know, he's still figuring it out, but I he pops on there too. And that's, you know, usually people can, you know, it's pretty obvious when Kornblut's tweeting or I'm tweeting. I don't think many people that follow us probably have a hard time disseminating which one's which, but you know, it has changed. You know, Phil might not be an active guy in terms of, you know, putting out a 140 character tweet, but he's savvy enough to know that Twitter's something that he needs to be on and following. And, you know, that's where things happen first, you know, and, you know, that can, for better or for worse, sometimes people don't take a breath. And, you know, I think a few weeks ago, Twitter murdered, William Perry, you know, and, you know, right. that takes off. So, you know, you gotta be careful in that regard. And, I mean, our policy is, you know, certainly we'll have fun and cut up on Twitter, but we don't ever tweet something in terms of news that we wouldn't report on the air. So we hold ourselves to the same standard there. But in terms of information and interacting with fans, it's helped connect a lot more people. I mean, there's people that I know that don't listen to the show that just follow us on our website or on Twitter, which is, it's kind of a completely different audience sometimes. And that's been neat. And, you know, but it's a 24-hour deal. You know, we don't ever stop now. So I don't know if my wife appreciates the fact that it's a 24-hour deal, but it's definitely changed. It's been a game changer.
Right, right. Well, do you have a, you know, last thing I'll ask you, I don't know if you do predictions or not, but I'd kind of like to hear how you think Thursday night is going to play out and then Saturday night up in Little Death Valley, how you think that game's going to wind up.
Oh, Little Death Valley. I see what you did there. the other Death Valley.
Death Valley with an asterisk.
Right. Yeah, I've always, you know, Kornblut always loves, you know, doing the score predictions. I always kind of shudder at that. Football's the only game where you have to do this. Like, nobody ever asks you what the score in a baseball game is going to be.
Right.
So that's
right.
Going to be 3-1. It's going to be, because you never know how, obviously, no one ever knows. You know, we're all just guessing here, but I do think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'd take the 12 points, whatever it is, 11.5, 12 points. And, you know, maybe the Gamecocks go out there and they're firing on all cylinders and they put them away early. It's going to be a, you know, packed house. There'll be a lot of energy and excitement. But I just get a sense, you know, Fedora is a smart coach. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I could see North Carolina's offense putting together a few long drives, keeping the ball away from USC, and maybe hanging around. I think the Gamecocks, you know, will have a, you know, 3-4 point lead in the fourth quarter and had the ball with a chance to put it away. And it's going to come down to who's going to make a play. Can they pick up the first down and get it in the end zone and get it to a double digit type of game? Or are they going to have to hang on for their life and hope that it'll be a stop a la the Tennessee game or the Vanderbilt game with North Carolina going in to scare people. So I think people are going to maybe get a little, you know, butterfly in the stomach action going, but I do think the Gamecocks will win. I just think it'll be within that 12-point spread, and you know, I'd probably say something, you know, 24-17 sort of deal, maybe 27-21.
Okay. And the Tigers?
The Tigers, yeah. Well, they overrun on this. I looked it up the other day. I think it was 75. So everybody thinks there's going to be a lot of points in this one, but you know, if I'm Georgia. And I still want to see if Clemson knows how to stop the run. If Les Miles would have just kept running, you know, all class, world class guy that you know want your daughter to date, Jeremy Hill, if he would have just given him the ball a couple more times, you know, it's a different result. You know,
right.
LSU, we should have won that game. And so if I'm Mart Rick and Bobo, I want to see if they can stop, you know, Gershel, which they don't like being called, but I pound those guys. If Clemson can stop the run, Georgia might be in trouble, but I'm not convinced they can. So I'm just kind of talking in circles here, trying to figure out, you know, I haven't even made this prediction on the show yet. I mean, I don't even know if it's good. I think if you're South Toronto, you don't want Georgia to be 0-1, do you? Wouldn't you rather than get a win over Clemson and come back a little overconfident?
It's lose-lose, but I'm pulling for Georgia. I can't see Clemson win and be happy about it under any circumstances.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and pick Clemson then, if you guys are pulling for Georgia, just so you guys can tweet something nasty about me.
He's a tater.
I do think, you know, I just see Aaron Murray doing something goofy. You know, they're going to be throwing, if he has to throw the ball 40 times, he'll screw up and throw it to the wrong guy.
That's a good point right there.
Yeah, that's a good call. He's 1-6, I believe, against top 10 teams. So, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm really glad that college football is back, and glad some pads are going to start popping instead of all the jaws flapping for the.
Talking season's about to end.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, that is Kevin McCrary. Again, you can listen to him on Sports Talk nightly in the state of South Carolina at 6 p.m. with Phil Kornblut on the South Carolina Radio Network. K-Mac, we appreciate your time. We'd love to have you back on sometime later this fall.
Yeah, love to do it, guys. Appreciate it. Maggie's back in town.
All right, that was K-Mac, and thanks again for him joining us. We've now had Phil Kornblut and Kevin McCrary from Sports Talk, and they still haven't invited us back on their show yet. I don't know what the what the deal is with that.
I think we all know what the deal is with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just you know, in denial. But how about a quick, you know, we hate predictions. We talked to K-Mac about hating predictions. So let's do some predictions. G-Man, give me a score Thursday night.
42-24, and I think it's going to be close until the fourth quarter, and I think we hit them with a quick score or two in the fourth quarter to pull away so we don't have to sweat it at the end.
T-Bone?
I'm going to go a little bit against conventional wisdom here. Back on my theme of us stopping them every other time and then us scoring every other time, 29-21 Gamecocks.
29-21. A couple of missed extra points in there?
Clearly not field goals. Yes.
Right. we go for two. Go for two on that last, after that last touchdown. I'm going to go 35-24 Gamecocks. I think we score a touchdown late to kind of put some distance in between us. But I think it's going to be torture, just like most season openers are for the Gamecocks. So
trip to the dentist, man.
Yeah. A quick bonus pick. G-Man, Clemson, Georgia, Saturday night.
Ooh, put me on the spot.
T-Bone, Clemson, Georgia, Saturday night.
Clemson 42, Georgia 5.
G-Man.
I'm going to go with the Dogs, 35-31.
I'm going to be like, what was the McLaughlin group? Wrong! It's going to be Georgia, 63-47. No, I think that is going to be one of those games where everybody expects 80 points to be scored, and it's going to be more like a 24-23 type game. I think the defenses are going to play better, and I'm going to go with Georgia. I'm going to say we're going to have a couple of 1-0 teams facing off in Athens next weekend. So
from your lips to God's ears, man.
My lips to Irk Russell's ears. All right. So we requested some questions on Twitter, and we got some really good ones here. And G-Man, I don't know if you looked at them. I don't know if you got the message. So I'm about to probably put you on the spot again some All more. Right. So Nate Kaminsky. At Phone Hand, friend of the show, friend of the Twitter account.
Great Twitter follow.
What is your most shocking South Carolina win when you were certain the Gamecocks were going to lose but didn't? I've got two answers. I'll tell you, the one that came to head immediately was Alabama 2010. But there was something not shocking about that game for whatever, and I can't put a finger on it. I'll tell you the game that was shocking to me was also in 2010, and the three of us were down at Goat Island, and it was at Florida.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the three of us thought we had a chance in that game just because, based on past history, even though that wasn't a great Florida game, I couldn't think of any in the past. I tried to think back through the 25 years of football that I've just reviewed and try to think of a shocking South Carolina victory, and I couldn't think of any until recent years. This is where one of you guys has to talk.
Yeah, that was actually a good one, that Florida game, because we were pretty much expecting to lose that one. How about the Hank Campbell game?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, Hank Campbell. What was that?
93.
Yeah, I mean we.
You can figure out exactly what year it was by listening to the Gamecock flashbacks.
Buckshots, Gamecock flashbacks. The Rubber Chicken Blog. I mean,
think about that game. You remember Heath Shuler? Everybody's All American. Right. You know, number what was he? 21. Anywhere number 21.
The Senator.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, those guys were just, you know, they were shocked to lose to us. That was a pretty big upset for the Gamecocks.
Excuse me, I heard you in the background saying Congressman. Senator just sounds better.
Congressman Shuler.
Do you have any other ones, T-Bone?
I would say the game that we won that I was shocked by would be every game we actually won before last year. I am constantly shocked that we win, but now I'm strangely getting used to the idea. Right. So, you know, you go back, I don't know, Mississippi State in 1995. Yeah, I was shocked as hell we won that game. I think we won that game. Wasn't that the Tannehill Hill? I don't know.
Back and listen to Gamecock Flashback.
I should. But you could make a strong case for the year we beat Southern Cal at home. And on the road. That was probably a shock. We you know, the Michigan game.
Hold on, T-Bone. We just completely lost you right before Southern Cal. We didn't even hear game you said. Yeah.
Yeah, I lost you too.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I what I was saying is you could make a strong case for the Southern Cal game where we won that one at home.
Right.
Back in the 80s. Or you could say maybe the Notre Dame game, which we won up there on the road.
Right.
During the Mike Hold era. We played Michigan. You know, beat them. I don't think people expected that during Big George's time.
Right.
Or you could even come back, and the game that I really remember was the tie against Jerry DiNardo's LSU Tigers.
Oh, down in the rain, the monsoon down in Baton Rouge.
No, that was a win. No, that's I'm talking the about the tie at home.
The little throwback pass to Blake Williamson on the little –
That was a win. That's right.
That was a win in Death Valley.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the tie because Jerry DiNardo all week long after that was explaining why he went for the tie.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that shocked the world a lot there. So there's a lot of games out there.
Yeah, I got those mixed up. I should go back and listen to Gamecock flashbacks. And
you should.
So a question from Jorge De Los Gallos, George Stevens. And I'm trying to – what's the difference between Gallos and Poyos? Poyo, hidden, because
no say.
Okay, we don't know. We'll have to ask Jorge because he changed. It's supposed to be George of the Chickens or Roosters or something. And I've watched too much Breaking Bad. I thought Poyo was chicken.
Yeah.
Well, none of us have been drinking that I know of, but we're just so happy for football season. So he asked a question about the linebackers, which I think we covered. His second question, if you could fire Demetra or Cloninger, who would you choose?
Demetra.
Yeah, I think that's an easy choice because Cloninger is a beat writer. And Demetra, in a sense, is a representative of our university, and so in turn is a representative of me and you guys. And I don't want that guy representing me.
Bring back Mike Morgan.
Yeah. So I would fire Demetra in a heartbeat. And Cloninger's now that he's blocked us, it's just he's no fun anymore.
That's ridiculous.
T-Bone, do you agree?
The right answer here is I wouldn't fire either one of them. I would tell them they needed to go talk to payroll, that this was an issue with their check, And I would ask them to go ahead and move their desks downstairs. And while they're down there, give me their stapler. See if they can't take care of the infestation problem we have down there.
Right, right. John Michael Gunnels, a true freshman at the University of South Carolina, just started school. According to his Twitter, if I'm following his Twitter account closely enough, I think that's the case. So I think his first game as a student will be on Thursday night in Columbia. He asks, why is Bruce number two on the depth chart? Well, John Michael, pay attention. He's been hurt, so he's fallen on the depth chart a little bit. So I think that's the obvious explanation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. John Michael, thank you for the question. Adam Garrett, Life of a Gamecock, friend of the show. Do you prefer Steve Spurrier shirtless or pantless? I've never seen him pantless, so I'm gonna go with shirtless, and I've never admitted to wanting to see a man pantless, so
I'll tell you the answer to that question. After 2 11 win seasons, I prefer him the way he wants to be. I prefer him the way that'll keep him in Columbia.
Right. Yeah. The next question comes from Connor Tapp, another good friend of the show, who actually joined us for one of the Gamecock flashbacks. His question is WTF. He attached something. He's got an attachment here. It's a Demetra tweet that says, "Hi kids, 1992 me here. My wardrobe also consisted of 95% neon. This will not end well for you. Trust me." And I had a great response. Mine was, "Hi kids, 1992 me here. I just beat up Andy Demetra." And I got no credit for that. I thought that was just a fantastic retort. So, Connor, WTF, IDK, man, IDK. More annoying faux pas for someone to type, and this is Connor also, more annoying faux pas, Gamecocks with a capital C or Demetra double spacing after periods? And I've got the answer to this one, too, because I double spaced after periods up until about 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't know not double spacing was an option, because when I learned to type in like 1983, 1984 on a typewriter. So we had to double space. That's the way we learned. And I didn't even know not double spacing was a thing, you know, until pretty recently. So I would say the bigger faux pas is Gamecocks with a capital C. But that's just the old man in me speaking. Yes,
you good? I think you're right. You're right.
What rhymes with "hug me" from Connor? I don't think we have an answer to that.
I actually know the answer to this one.
What is the answer to that?
What rhymes with "hug me" is Christina Hendricks.
That definitely rhymes with "hug me." If you could fire to, oh, that we've already done that one. I think that's it. I think that was it for our questions. So for you folks that sent in questions, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Made the show much more lively. And I think that's going to do it. If you guys don't have anything else, we got some football to watch here very shortly.
Yeah, giddy up. Sounds good.
G-Man, go get them Thursday night. You're going to be the only representative at the ball game.
I'll be there. And I'm sure you guys will be there in spirit, but I'll be keeping you with me with as much as I can do from an update standpoint with the phone, if it works.
Yeah, I've let my fingernails grow out extra long in anticipation of Thursday night, so I can chew them down to a nub probably by halftime.
Yeah, hey, I'm sure you'll get that opportunity.
Yeah, I tell you what, Gamecock Nation, there's one more thing I want to remind you of. It has now been 1,731 days since Clemson beat South Carolina in football.
Wow. Oh, my Lord.
I know. That's a big number. I'm not kidding you. For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com. Thank you for joining us for TRC Unleashed. We will see you on the other side of the Tar Heels.
Well, there's football in the air. Across the leaf-blown field. Yeah, and there's your first car on the road. We'll be right back. time of year.